Let us go to the word, Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. Amen. God is the God of truth. 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 Psalm 31 verse 5 says he is the God of truth. He gives birth through the word of truth. James 1:18 says he also nurtures us, nurtures his children through the word of truth. So he gives birth through the word of truth. He nurtures his children through the word of truth. Describing what that's like, Ecclesiastes 12:10-11 says, the teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote us was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goads. They're collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. I actually have to look at what goad was. A goad is like a rod, like a stick that shepherds use. Like I spoke about rods and staff, a shepherd leading his their flocks. Goads are these sticks, rods, that beat the animals and in order to guide them and correct them. So what the Bible tells us, this is the way the God of truth nurtures his children. So faith means to believe in the word of truth. How many of you believe the word of truth? Believing God, believing Jesus, believing Yeshua is believing the word of truth. And if we believe the word of truth, we have to live this life, which is to discern the word of truth and hear only the word of truth. As Job 12:11 says, does not the ear test words as the tongue tastes food? As God made us these beautiful ears that are open all the time because they are exposed to so many noises and so many words, we have to discern what the word of truth is and therefore commit to hearing only the word of truth. And once we hear the word of truth, what do? Christian life is to respond to that word of truth, to answer according to that word of truth. Hebrews 6:7 says, land that drinks in the rain often falling on it and produces a crop useful to those for whom it is farmed receives the blessing of God. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. So what the Bible describes is there's the land that actually soaks up the rain, like spring rain, and produces fruit as a result of having the seed and being soaked with the spring rain and producing fruit, while there's land that actually changes that and not produce as it was sown. So being good soil means to produce as it was sown. And what are we sown? We're sown the word of truth. Truth means something that does not change. If truth changes, it's not truth. Is it? No. Right? So when we receive the word of truth, when we say we believe in the word of truth, I need to respond according to it. I need to apply my life according to it. I need to answer that word accordingly. What do you say? You sure? Are you sure? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, a worker who correctly handles a word of truth. So the Bible through and throughout talks about God being the truth, the God of truth, and his word being truth. Because we live in the world that is full of words that are not true. How important are these words that we hear through these ears? Very important. In fact, a man's life is determined by whose words he listens to. So going to school is supposed to educate our children and make our children to be humans and social beings. So it's very important institution to socialize children as they develop. So back in the day, maybe even now too, perhaps naively, parents will say, go and listen to your teacher and be a good boy. Listen to your teacher and follow what the teacher says. But nowadays, I'm not sure if that's the right thing to say even. It's very sad. It is very sad because you hear there's just just global or national social culture, but also even in education system, the teachers get in trouble for their bad behaviors and inappropriate behaviors, inappropriate things that they say. And now it's so hard to even hide because everything is captured on the camera. So whatever you say, whatever you do in classroom goes up and then career's over, job's done. So it is not as in the old days, you go follow your master, you go follow your teacher, and then you become a good disciple. So the education system in this country, as well as the world, all the world around, are questionable now about who to listen to. But people do still pursue, you know, by reading and going on what TED, TED video, watching TED, TED videos, or you know, New York Times bestsellers or something like that, seeking advice or tips from these wise men, wise women, wise people. People can further by seeking religion and, you know, seek Buddhism or Islam or all these religions where the teaching is based on these individuals who are Buddha or Muhammad. Or even if one says, well, I don't have any religion, but I follow teaching of Confucius. So there's like millions and millions of people who follow Confucius' teaching, even though they may not say they follow his teaching, but the culture that is East Asia or East Asian culture is heavily based on Confucius' teaching. So the value of family and authority and all of authority figures, all of that is rooted in Confucius' teaching. So you can't really ignore and say, well, I don't really follow that. But when you look at historically and how society has been influenced by these people, certainly somebody started listening to these people. Now, why is it so important that whose words you listen to? Because that will determine one's actions. One will accept those words and say, that's true that, I like that. And then they start making decisions according to these words. So the words that they hear will ultimately determine the direction they take in their life and therefore determine their fate. Here, we have been hearing about faith, not fate, but faith. And we started off this year by hearing the word on be believing, that faith has to be in present tense. It is not past. It is not about some hopeful future, but it's about right now. And keep on believing in present tense. And what do we believe? What do we need to believe? We need to believe the word of truth. What are we believing? The word of truth. And that's why God gave us these beautiful ears. We say, like, listen, you know, you need to think. But the thinking with our brain is sort of the aftermath after hearing the words. And as I said, you know, your eyes, you can shut them, you can close them. But the ears don't have shutting mechanism. They're always open, nonstop. So they're always listening and hearing, even if you don't want to. They're always hearing. So what the Bible reminds us is that we have to be very careful about whose words we listen to. And certainly the Bible reminds us who we are, that we are spiritual beings. We are souls. I'm a soul. I'm a living being. Turn to your neighbor. Hey, you are a soul. Not just this flesh that needs that absorbs information into the brain and then somehow remembers and analyzes and applies to his or her life, but through the ears and the brain, the word needs to go into the soul, the spiritual being that we are inside the flesh, a being. It's a being, not just a feeling, but it's a being. So the spiritual being, as Genesis 2:7 says, God breathed into the man the breath of life, and the man became a living being. A living being is, again, not a feeling. But many people think being a soul is like a feeling. Like, I got soul. You got soul? I can see that he has soul. Like, it's sort of like a character feel, but that's not what a soul is. According to the Bible, soul is a being that lives or dies. It lives with God, and apart from God, dies. So God wants men to hear the word of truth, as souls. God wants men to come as souls, remembering that they're souls. Pay attention to these words. Colossians 1:5 says the word of truth, word of the truth of the gospel. Hebrews 1:2 says the word of the Son. Romans 10:17 says it's the word of Christ. Hebrews 2:3 says it's the word of the Lord. And Romans 10:8, the word of faith. Why is it so important that we hear the word of truth? Because faith comes from hearing. Where does it come from? Yes, let's go to Romans 10:14-17. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Why is it important that we hear? Because faith comes from hearing. Where does faith come from? Yes, faith is not like one day you sit under a tree and you go hum, hum, and ting, I got it. That's not how faith comes. Faith comes specifically from hearing, and that is hearing the word of truth, the word of God, the word of the Son. Now, this warning, again, is because, yes, there are all kinds of junk out there which are false, which are lies in the world, and that's because Satan, a fallen angel, the enemy of God, is here. Not as, again, abstract figure of speech, but a real being, a spiritual being. He was made an angel. He was originally given the name Luciel. And he was in the spiritual heaven outside the universe. And he was made to worship God, glorify God. He was made beautifully to do that well. But because of that, Ezekiel 28 and also Isaiah 14, 12 on describes, he became proud. And he said to his heart, he said in his heart, says Isaiah 14, 12 on, he said in his heart. So it's like organic, if you will, organic. It's from his own heart, which is pride. He said, I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High, meaning I'm not going to serve God anymore. I'm going to carry it out into action because it started with those words saying, I will make myself like God, like the Most High. And then he determined his direction and his action. What is his action? He left his position of serving God. Also, Jude 1:6 talks about that. He left his proper domain, his proper dwelling, proper position of authority, stopped serving God, wanting to serve himself, be served by other angels as he challenged God. So that's a result of listening to his own heart that he takes out into his action, and God immediately casts him out of the spiritual heaven and contained him in the universe called Ho Hades, or Sheol in Hebrew. Uh-oh. What is it? Ho Hades, Hades, or Sheol, which is referring to the entire universe where we live today. This is to contain him like a prison cell until the great day of judgment. Actually, where is that judgment going to be had where he will be punished forever? 2 Peter 3:7 says, the present heavens and earth are reserved for the fire. So the fire will happen here in the universe, yes. So the burning hell, the burning place where those who sin against God will be punished forever is the place where we are right now, yes. And it is here where God made all things that we see today, including mankind. So God made man, male and female. On day six of creation, God made him. And among them, he chose one to make him a living being. His name was Adam. Right, so Adam was placed in the Garden of Eden, and he was given the word by God that limited him in terms of what he could eat. He could eat all from all the trees in the garden except from one tree. What was that tree called? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, if you eat of it, you will surely die. You will certainly die. I mean it, he said. Not the flesh, but the spirit. But he ultimately listened to the words of his wife. What was his wife's name? I know. Happy wife, happy life. Happy wife, happy life. So he thought at the time. So he listened to her. But it was not her words who said, eat it, you will not surely die. But you will be like God. You will open your eyes and know the things of God. This is not from her. Those words came from who? From a snake in the garden, a serpent. But that's actually the fallen angel, Satan, now referred to as the devil, Revelation 12, 9 says. So these are all the same person. Satan, the devil, the serpent. Go ahead. Yes, so the words were sweet to the ears of Adam, and he listened, and as a result, did he become like God? No, he became afraid. He hid. And then in the end, he was kicked out of the garden. But spiritually, Romans 5:12 and 1 Corinthians 15:22 says, in Adam, all men died in the spirit as a result, inheriting sin in the spirit to be sent to hell with the devil. Matthew 25:41. And all their life desiring to not hear the truth, therefore, but lies. That's what Jesus himself said in John 8:44. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar, the father of lies. This is why since then to this day, men cannot discern the word of truth from lies, lies from the word of truth. They like to hear what they like to hear, and they choose to hear it like it's truth. And this is a result of sin now deafening their ears, spiritual ears, deafening their spiritual ears because our ancestor listened to the lies of the devil. But God began his work to reveal himself as truth, to give ultimately birth to the children, the souls of men as his children through his blood. So he called Noah and warned him about the coming deluge that would judge the entire world because of the sin that filled the world. And Hebrews 11:7 says, Noah by faith built an ark and saved his family from the deluge that ultimately destroyed all mankind except for Noah and his family in the ark. So of course, the rain didn't happen right away. How long did it take for the rain to come after the warning? About? Anyone know? I said how long, I mean, I'm sorry. When did the rain come? How long did it take for the rain to come once Noah got the warning? Am I saying it right? How long did it take for him to build the ark? Okay, 70 years. So that means it took 70 years for that rain to come. I mean, yes, someone said, what did you say? This is why I need to not pay attention. Okay. You confused me. You said 40 days and nights. Okay. Well, maybe the rain itself. 40, I think that's what you're getting at. But that was not my question. My question was, Noah had to have faith and keep on building this ark for 70 years where there was no rain. So what was those 70 years about? Time of test for his faith. Whether he continued to believe, was believing in the word of truth. But ultimately, he was rewarded with the salvation of his and his family's life. Do you believe? Lot, Abraham's nephew, now, of course, Abraham was also called by God, and by faith he obeyed. And because of that, he was blessed. And Lot, being Abraham's nephew, was also blessed. Now, Lot was living in Sodom, because Sodom was a very fertile land, but at the same time, it was riddled and filled with sin. The men were wicked in that city. So God decided to destroy and send the angels to warn about this coming judgment. Now, Lot had two daughters, and they were married. The sons-in-law, when they heard the angels' warning, how did they take it? Did they say amen? Did they say no man? Yeah, they said no man. As in, they considered those words as joke. It says, they considered the word as joke. What? Burn down Sodom and Gomorrah? God's punishment? What are you talking about? I'm not receiving that. It's a joke. So they didn't leave. So it was Lot and his wife and the two daughters who left the city as the angels warned and then told them to go. And once they reach a city, then the brimstone fire will come to destroy the city next morning. Now, four of them started the journey, but one of them did not continue believing the word of truth. Instead, turned back thinking, would it really happen like the way the angel said? And look back. Who was that and what happened to that person? That was Lot's wife, and as a result, she turned into, yes, a pillar of salt. So in the end, it was only Lot and his two daughters who were saved because they took the word of angels as the word of God. They did not doubt, but they believed. Even though it came through these two men who are angels of God, they consider those words as the words of God. Later on, Moses was called, who was then no longer prince of Egypt, but living like a fugitive in the desert, shepherding animals. And God spoke to him from the burning bush and told him that he was going to send him to bring the people of Israel out of their slavery in Egypt. Moses had refused because he was saying, I can't go. I'm a fugitive. I'm wanted. Not only that, I can't even speak. I'm too timid. I'm too insecure. I am too gentle. I can't do this work. So God had shown him these signs about the staff turning to snake and back to staff, and then his skin turning to leprous and then coming back clean, so that Moses can be strengthened to march into Egypt, really not knowing, not being sure of what's coming. But he went because the Lord was with him in the name of Jehovah, and that he went and continued to perform signs called the 10 plagues. What are they called? 10 plagues. Let's not go through all the items, but what's the first and the last? The first plague was the water turned blood. The last one was what? Blood to blood. The Passover, where every firstborn was killed unless they had what? The blood of lamb around the door frame. In between, there were all these other signs that destroyed Egypt. And through that experience or witnessing all that, not really for the people of Egypt, but it was actually the people of Israel who were not known as such then. They were Hebrew slaves. It was for them to be convinced and trust that Moses was sent by the Lord God. Do you understand? Right? It was not for the Egyptians. It was to convince the Hebrew people that it was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, who has sent this man, Moses, and spoke to him what to speak to them so that they would accept those words as the words coming from the Lord God, Jehovah. So that's why all the signs were performed. If you understood that, say amen. Yeah? So then they were delivered from the slavery, ultimately crossed the Red Sea, entered the desert where they meandered and journeyed for 40 years before entering the promised land. They had to continue to follow Moses and listen to his words. And to make sure that they would do that, God called Moses up to the mountain and gave him the Ten Commandments. Now, when he came down with the stone tablets that had Ten Commandments on them in Exodus 34, he did not know what was happening, but the people were shocked. They were scared, and they start trembling, and they start falling. Why? What happened? What happened to Moses? Hello? What happened to Moses? His face. What about his face? He got facials done. He got heavenly facials. Yes? His face was radiant. I was trying to imagine, like, how would that look like? Must have been beaming like the sun. Just like we can't see the sun directly. I don't recommend you to do that, right? It will impact your vision very, very badly. So don't do it. We can't look at the sun and be normal, but it's like that kind of brightness and beaming that they saw Moses. They just couldn't look at him. They were so scared. And why did God make his face that way? Because Moses was in the mountain talking with God. He spoke with God. He spoke with Jehovah. And the radiant face was a sign that he spoke with Jehovah. So that when Moses would open up his mouth and say, Jehovah says this, then what will people say? What can you say? What else can you say but amen? Do you understand? Yeah? Because they can't see Jehovah. They only saw the radiant face of Moses, and that was enough. That sign was enough that they need to pay attention to his word. So God, God had them build the tabernacle, the sanctuary, and in it was the name of Jehovah. Which name? The name of Jehovah. And what else? The ark, right? But inside the ark, the stone tablets, right? So stone tablets are referred to as the tablets of testimony, which were the evidence of Moses speaking with Jehovah. And that God spoke to Moses, and therefore Moses spoke God's word. They were to receive it as the word of God. And these were God's decrees and instructions, Exodus 18:20 says. But reality, Hebrews 2:2 says, this is the message spoken through angels. So it was considered the word, the words of Jehovah, the words of Lord God. But in reality, it was the angels who spoke in the name of Jehovah that the people heard through Moses. So in the Old Testament, what they heard as the word of the Lord God was actually delivered through whom? The angels. There you go. So that was by sight. And then you have by sound. Someone gave me a bag with the sight and sound yesterday. So sight and sound. Sight and sound? Yeah, sight and sound. So by sight, that was the tabernacle. But by sound, the prophets spoke the word of Jehovah. And they spoke not out of their own imagination or heart. But 1 King 18:1 says, the word of the Lord came to them. So people like Elijah or Isaiah, all the people that you have read through in the Old Testament, these were the men of God who were chosen. And they were chosen to deliver the word of God, but not out of their own imagination, but that the word would come to them. Word would come to them, and that the word would come to them so that they would open up their mouth to speak them, even if these words were too hard to accept. In reality, that's what the message of the prophet was, right? The message of the prophet is what? Repent. Hello, is everybody awake today? Hello? What's the message of the prophet? See, it's like you have one night off and then zombies. I don't know what happened. Hello? Okay, so what did the prophet say? There you go, repent. If not, you're dead. If not, you're dead. You don't want to die? Then repent. That's that basically it. You're going to be taken as slaves. You're going to be hit with famine and struck with plagues. And your enemies will take your children, your wives, your daughters, your sons. Unless you repent and turn back to God. That is the message of all the prophets. So did people like it or not? Oh no. Mm-mm. We don't like it. So they pursue the prophets and they persecuted them. They even killed them. Remember Yeshua talked about, you know, how those people who claimed themselves religious, they actually killed their prophets. The prophets were persecuted. They were on the run most of the time. So Jeremiah 7:24 actually says, they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. So pay attention if you say, I follow my heart. Pay attention. Because your heart is not going to be always good. In fact, most of the time, it is evil. It's evil. So you have to be very careful. My heart says this, my heart says that. Be very careful. As it says, they follow the stubborn inclinations of their hearts. They went backward and not forward. This is the message that God spoke through Jeremiah to the people of Israel. And also in 27:9-10, it says, so do not listen to your prophets. This is speaking about false prophets. The false prophets at the time, your prophets, your diviners, your interpreters of dreams, your mediums. Sorcerers, right? Psychics. Your sorcerers will tell you, you will not serve the king of Babylon. They prophesy lies to you that will only serve to remove you far from your lands. I will banish you and you will perish. So instead of paying attention to the true word of God that came to the prophet, the true prophet, the people of Israel chose to listen to their heart and then open their ears to the false prophets who spoke to them lies. And then said, oh, don't worry, God's not going to punish you. Don't worry, follow your heart and make friends with your Gentiles and Gentile neighbors. Marry them, go ahead, do that. God cannot do anything that he says he will. Don't worry about it. So they listened to the false prophets because their words were enticing and sweet to their ears. As a result, even if they did not want to admit it, God punished them and put them under curse that was lasting, even through the destruction of the Temple of Jerusalem. Later on, certainly they repaired it and then rebuilt by the King Herod. They had found some kind of assurance or reassurance and comfort that God did not totally abandon them because the temple was in their midst. So when one man standing before the temple of Jerusalem said, destroy this temple and I will raise it again in 3 days, the Jewish leaders, the priests, did not take that well. But who was that man who said those words? That was Jesus, that was Yeshua. And what was he speaking of? The building? What did the building have anyway to the people of Israel? The name of Jehovah. And whose words did the temple remind the people of Israel about? The words of Jehovah spoken through Moses, through the angels. There you go. And that's why Yeshua said, destroy this temple. Now a new time has come. I'm no longer going to speak just to Israel through angels or through Moses. But now I'm going to speak not in the name of Jehovah, but in the Father's name, Yeshua. And I will speak to the souls of all nations. Is this good news for us? Hallelujah. Yes? That now he's not going to speak through the angels, but he's going to speak through the Son. The Son. Hebrews 1, 1-2 says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophet at many times in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. The Son of God, Yeshua, through whom the Father would speak. And he was saying, I will speak to you and my words, because my words are my Father's words, and that is the words of God. These are the words of truth. Hallelujah. So the words that he would speak as the Son of God would be the words of truth that men must hear and believe. And to reveal this to the disciples, he took them to a mountain. There were only a few there. But let's read this together. Matthew 17:1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Wait. So his face shone like the sun. Uh-oh. Who's, like who? Like who?
Yeah. Wow. This looks good. It's like preview. Oh, I like where this is going. And then what happened? Verse 3. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud enveloped them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son whom I love. With him, I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. Get up, he said, don't be afraid. When they looked up, no one except. So first his face changes radiant like Moses' face, and then like voila, there is Moses and Elijah. Do you remember? By sight and by sound. The temple and the prophet. The law and the prophet. Elijah represents the prophet. Are you with me? Yes? The law and the prophet. The stone tablet, the word of Moses, and then here's the word of the prophet. And because these were the men that they listened to, they heard those words as the words of Jehovah delivered through the angel, and their lives depended on those words. And here's Yeshua in their midst. So the disciples thought, he is one of them. Hallelujah! He's not a cult leader. He's not heretic, but he is one of them. Let's build temples. Ooh, one for you, one for them, one for them. Hallelujah. Because most people believe that he was a prophet. Even to this day, unless they say he was a lunatic or he was a liar, they say he was, the Jewish people say he was a good prophet, a good man or a prophet. But just as they were thinking this, Peter was saying all this stuff, what happened? A cloud covered, and ultimately there was a voice saying, listen to him. Not to Moses, not to Elijah, but to Yeshua. To whom? Yeshua, because he was the only one who was remaining. And that's why he said in John 14:6, I am the way, I am the truth, he said. I am the truth. And he said in John 14:24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. The words that he spoke, what is he saying? They belong to the Father who sent him. Who sent him? The Father. John 1:1, quickly. Was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there the Word is appearing. So you think, oh, it's like those are the words of God. That's not what it says. The Word was with God. So we're talking about a person there, a person like who is there with God. Now, there's only one God, but there's part of God who is called the Word in eternity. This is how God decided to reveal himself and speak. Through, not words like sound, but a person called the Word. And in Greek, it's ho logos. Yes, that's why our Bible school is called logos. Oh, really? Yes, that's why. Yes. So the word in verse 18, go to verse 18. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only who is at the Father's side has made him known. So the one who was with God, the Word in the beginning, comes from the Father, from God, and he comes out as the Son. Are you following me so far? And therefore God is referred to as the Father. And verse 14 says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So where did the Word come from? Father, the Father. And the Word became flesh, and we call him the Son. All together, the Word became flesh. God became flesh. The truth became flesh. And his name is Yeshua. Hallelujah. I'm not making up, right? We're just connecting the dots here, yes? So that's why when he said in John 14:24, these words I speak to you belong to the Father who sent me. If you understood that now, say amen. And he said, John 17:17, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. That's what Yeshua said, the Son said about the Father's word. He said, Father, your word is truth. So we're going to go through some equations here. So the word of Yeshua is the word of the Father. And the word of the Father is the truth. Because he said, Father, your word is truth. The Son said about the Father, Father, your word is the truth. And what did the Son speak? Son spoke whose word?
the Father's word. So what is his word? Truth. A equals B, B equals C, A equals C. Yes. So the word of Yeshua is the word of truth. Hallelujah. Say it with me. The word of Yeshua is the word of truth. So that's why when he performed many, many signs, like healing the sick, raising the dead even, cleansing the leprous and opening the eyes of blinds, and countless cases of miracles he performed in his time, was not just for the sake of miracles. As you heard last week about the Almighty God having faith in God, is experiencing all of that, all valid, all important, yes. But what's more important is that through the signs that people may believe in his word, that they will pay attention to his word and believe in his word. So in his time, did they believe in his word? Did they believe in his word? No. So that's what we're going to look at. John 8:43. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lied, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. So what is Yeshua saying? If you belong to God, you will believe my words, because his words are whose words? The Father's words. There you go. So if you believe in the Father's words, you will believe my words, because I'm speaking his word. Again, when did he hear the Father's word? Did he go home and go like, Morse code, what do I say? Do you know Morse code? You guys don't know what Morse code. Back in the day, that was how they come. I know, back in the day, this was not available. All right, so they had to do this, and then they would be like, mothership, come on. You know, so is that what happened? Every night, he would be like, I got to get the message for the Father. No, it was in the beginning he received the word from the Father. And when he became flesh, he spoke the Father's word. Now, if you belong to the Father God, you would believe the Son's word. But because you don't belong to God, the truth, the God of truth, rather you belong to the devil. Who is the devil? The father of lies. So you can't believe. And this is true to this day. Even if we try to tell them, your soul, there's heaven and hell, you better listen to Yeshua and hear the word of God so that you be saved, not go to hell. Nah, I don't believe in that. Because the world, this is still where the father of lies is influential. He's the prince of the world. But Yeshua said in John 5:46-47, if you believe Moses, you will believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? So Yeshua was, if you read the Bible, how he was quoting the scriptures, which is the Old Testament, and he constantly referred back to what the Old Testament was about. He in fact said the Old Testament is about the law and the prophets. You condense all, how many books in the Old Testament quickly? 39. 3 times 9 is what? Anyway, so 39, all those books you extract, you juice them, you get two parts. What are they? The law and the prophets. If you knew the Old Testament, if you knew what the law is about, meaning what Moses said, if you knew what the prophets were saying, remember, by sight and by sound, if you knew what they were all about, John 5:39 says, you study the scriptures, so by doing that you may have eternal life. And the scriptures testify about Yeshua, not me, but Yeshua. So if you knew the Old Testament, you would believe that the Old Testament was about Yeshua, that Moses was talking about Yeshua, the prophets were talking about Yeshua, but you don't believe the Old Testament. So how are you going to listen to me and believe my word? So this is why in COJ, we spent a lot of time, how many minutes has it been, about the Old Testament and how Yeshua spoke about the Old Testament and fulfilled them, because the Old Testament is about Yeshua. Amen? Yes? So the word that Yeshua spoke is the word of the word, not word among the words, but the word of whole logos. So his word is referred to as the word of the word, the words of the word. So should we pay attention to his word? Yes. He said in John 12:47-49, if anyone hears my words and does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words.
Okay, let's read together. John 12, 47, 49.
If anyone hears my words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, but I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. The important thing in that passage is that there is judgment in the end. Do you believe that? That's what he's highlighting. And that judgment will be made by not Yeshua himself, his heart, his feeling, but by what? The words that he spoke. So there will be judgment coming in the end, and that judgment is by his word. He will judge the living and the dead. So should we pay attention to what he said? Even right now, should we pay attention to what he said? Amen. And that's why he said in the parable of weeds in Matthew 13, 24, 30, that good seed will be sown, but overnight. People will be like, oh, wait, what happened? They're weeds. The weeds are filling up the ground. What do we do? Lord, should we pluck everything out? Pluck the weeds out now? Because you can try to pluck weeds. And the beauty of weeds is that they're so resilient. They just show up from nowhere and they just multiply like crazy, choking up the real plant that you sown for. But the Lord said, no, while you're pulling out the weeds, you will also pull out the good, the wheat itself. So let's wait until harvest. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned. Then gather the wheat and bring them into my barn. So that's the last judgment. The judgment will be wheat, separating the weeds from the wheat. The wheat will be gathered up to be stored up in barn in heaven, but the weeds will be bundled up, be thrown into the fire. That was the warning, and that was by his word that will be done. But ultimately, he went to the cross to die when the men arrested him, flogged him, and nailed him to the cross. He did not do anything to show and reveal those signs of who he is, but he willingly went to the cross without defending himself, without saying a word to defend himself. He died willingly, but he said, "It is finished," declaring that all the things that he came to do now were done. Ultimately, it was for him to lay down his life at the cross, for that was the word that the Father gave him, John 10, 18, for him to obey the Father's command. And the moment that he was laying down his life, he was saying, Father, your word is truth. Your word alone is truth. And I trust that I will not end up dead, abandoned here in this Sheol, Ho Hades, Hades, to perish forever, but that you will faithfully, according to your word of truth, you will raise me back to life as I obeyed according to your word. You will raise me back to life according to your word of promise. Hallelujah. And he trusted the Father 100%, so he laid down his life 100%. Hallelujah. He condemned also the enemy, the father of lies, the liar. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's right. The liar was finally judged. Now punishment, only punishment waits to throw him into the fire where he will suffer forever. But through his death, he paid the price of sin for all men, the sinners of all men who had been lied to. So that's the difference between the devil and the slave, men who had become slaves of the devil. Even though you did not know that, all men became slaves of the devil because our ancestors listened to the lies of the devil because they were deceiving, they were lied to. They did not know from left to right, from left from right, truth from lies. They did not know. All men, we did not know because of the devil. And therefore, God decided to show his mercy from the beginning. Are you grateful for that? As Isaiah said, our Father, our Redeemer from everlasting, from the beginning, God decided to redeem us from our sins. Hallelujah. And ultimately forgive us as our Father. Hallelujah. He did so by shedding his precious blood to give birth to us. The blood that he shed is the word of truth. James 1:18 says he gave birth to us through the word of truth. That is the blood of his redemption. Hallelujah. He finished all that work so that souls be ready, to be ready as soil to receive this good seed, to hear the words of Yeshua and produce wheat, not weeds, to be found as those who belong to him in the end. Hallelujah! Yeshua raised him. Yeshua was raised back to life according to the Father's word. He is the Lamb on the throne in heaven. Why is he called the Lamb? Because he has marks of suffering, and those marks will remain with him forever. The marks, the scars on his body will be forever. Why? Why couldn't he get a makeover and look beautiful and flawless? Because those marks, those scars will testify that to death, he listened to the word of truth of the Father. Always remember, what Yeshua did set the mark for us. Set example for all creature to follow. He did not go on his own. He did not listen to his own heart. He listened to the Father's word. Because the Father's word is truth. He spoke the word of truth himself. And he did it according to the word of truth. And in the end, he was raised back to life to sit on the throne, to reign forever and ever as the King of Kings. Hallelujah. It is from there the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit, John 16:13 says, is the Spirit of truth. Who is the Holy Spirit? Check on your neighbor. Are they breathing? And I'm going through really fast, and you cannot, no time to look like a zombie. The Holy Spirit is who? The Spirit of? The Spirit of? The Spirit of truth comes to those who have received the word of truth. The word of truth first, in the form of the blood of Yeshua. How many of you have received the blood of Yeshua into your soul? How did you do that? You told me. You told me to say amen. This is where you have to pay attention. Now you have to really pay attention. You cannot say amen to just anything without knowing what it means. Because what does amen mean? It's not no man. But it's amen means truly. Like true that. I agree. I wish that were true. So you can't just be like, some people just say amen, like it's like a rhythm. Amen, amen. And I'm going like, did you really understand what that was? What was that? Amen, amen. It's like a, you know, some kind of like back and forth, back and forth. So they are answer, call and answer. You need to say amen when you understand what it is and when you agree to it. And only through the Holy Spirit, the soul that has been born again in the blood of Yeshua, i.e. the word of truth, we can know that. The Holy Spirit, as John 14:26 says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you everything I have said to you. So when the Holy Spirit comes, yes, we have a sign that shows, that lets us experience that the Spirit of truth is with us. That is by the, having the gift of tongues. So having the physical experience, the speaking in tongues, it's physical because we hear it, but it's actually the spirit, me the soul speaking to God. How many of you received that blessed gift? Amen. That means your soul has been born again as a child of God. Hallelujah. Amazing. Amen. But we don't end there. Speaking tongues is to have the confidence, reassurance that the assurance that the Holy Spirit is with me. Now, with me, he is doing the work that he really came to do. That is to remind us what Yeshua said. Yes. Amen. He reminds us and he lets us believe what Yeshua said so that we testify what Yeshua said. That's right. So the Holy Spirit lets us know. In other words, only the words of Yeshua are the words of truth. Do you agree with that? That only the words of Yeshua are the words of truth. Amen? And when I say only Yeshua, meaning Yeshua is not one of many good men in historical figure. Yes, he was a historical figure. He lived and died. But he was raised back to life to prove that he's not like one of the men in the world, but that he is God. Therefore, we believe his word. We must bet our life on his word. So the Holy Spirit lets us discern in the believer. He lets the believer discern between the word of truth and false teaching. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 13 to 14. First Corinthians 2:13. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So to the world, still talking about heaven and hell, the final judgment, sin, the price of sin being death, the warning about Jesus returning, be ready or else. Oh my God, do you know how, like what year this is and you guys are still talking about that? I have people come to me time to say, you still talk about brimstone fire? I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. I'm going to do it until the end. Yes, because we believe that is the word of truth. These are the words of Yeshua. Yeshua is the one. He is the one who spent great time in describing what hell is like and warning against going to hell. So how can we not testify about what he said? But the world will consider this foolish, outdated. That's outdated. It's like, yo, that's so ancient. What are you talking about that? Life is good. You know, like, where's hell? There's no such thing. But that's exactly what they said in the time of Noah. That's what they said, as Peter also talks about towards the end of the Bible. That is true to this day. But we have to remember, to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Though 2,000 years have passed since the Lord's left the world saying, I'm coming back, it does not mean that he's not coming back. To us, the 2,000 years or 1,000 years, whatever, may be long. To God, it is nothing. And his word, because it is truth, it will come true. And it is only by the Holy Spirit we can discern the word of truth from false teaching. So the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of truth, who does he speak to? He speaks to the churches. Who does he speak to? Yes, Revelation chapters 2 and 3. There are 7 churches to whom the Holy Spirit speaks. Yes, they are historical 7 churches, but these are still current words, words that are still true to all the churches today. And the Holy Spirit says, so in chapters 2 and 3, there's a repeated pattern. At the end of each message given to each of the 7 churches, it says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So there, what do we find? The Holy Spirit speaks to the government, social club, or some philosophical group. The Holy Spirit speaks to the, hello, the Holy Spirit speaks to the. So if he's the Spirit of truth, again, A equals B, B equals C. If he's the Spirit of truth and he speaks the truth, if you want to know the truth, where do you need to come? Where do you need to be? Because I know, it's only these people who are saying, church, church. Everyone's like, 1 foot in, 1 foot out, I'm ready to go. Where do you need to be if you want to know the truth? Because he speaks to the churches and he speaks in the churches. Amen? So someone could be like, I've read the Bible 100 times. Pastor Kang says she has actually met a scholar who read like 100+ more times of the Bible. I know, it's like, I just read through one. Ross is like, I had to push myself to finish to graduate today. Congratulations. Yes. So you did it. But like, can you imagine somebody who's done 100 times without the Holy Spirit? Without the Holy Spirit. I don't know how anyone will read without the Holy Spirit, because they say they don't believe in the Bible. But they read 100. Like, why? Because it's the most famous book. Wow. But the Holy Spirit does not speak to such a person. The Holy Spirit speaks to the churches, which is the gathering of believers who have been born again through the word of truth, through the blood of Yeshua. Now been chosen as soil to which the word of truth has been sown to, in time, produce crop, produce wheat and not weeds. Amen? So make sure that we're not producing weeds. I have to make sure that the true seed, good seed, has been sown into my soul and into the church. So when you come into the church, you have to ask yourself, what expectation do I have of the church? What word do I expect to hear in the church? Why do I need to keep on coming to COJ? It's always saying the same thing every week. So it's like, please, give us a break. We're preaching from one book, and solamente one book. One book. Only one book. We're not using like hundreds of books. We're not even using like 52 books. One book each week. Just one book. Always.
But thanks God, thanks Yeshua that we have so many attributes of God that we can focus on different angles. But we're still talking about who? One person? Yeshua. Amen. So even if it's the same thing over and over again, if we knew the Bible and we need to pay attention to the word of truth that is spoken through the one who is the truth, we should expect to hear the word of Yeshua in the church where the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, speaks. What do you say? In spite of all of that, you go to all the churches around the world. You have so many churches out there that are filled with people. Filled with people because they like the message. Or they have, what, hundreds of thousands of followers on their channels. And what kind of message do they speak? And once in a while, they will speak something that sounds familiar. But most of the time, in a lot of churches, they spend time on speaking about the blessings of the Old Testament. Old Testament. What kind of blessings did the Old Testament promise? Moses. What did he promise? You obey the law, and what happened? What happens? Your life will prosper. Wealth, prosperity, happiness, longevity, happy family, no problem at all. So according to the teaching, if you run into trouble, your life is like falling apart, you get struck with some sickness, your children are suffering, then you have to say, I don't have blessing. God's not blessing me. Something is wrong. But when you look at Yeshua's blessing, as we see him giving the message called Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. What's the result? Prosperity, longevity, wealth, perfect family. What is it? What is it? The kingdom of heaven will be theirs. That's the blessing. Practical or not practical? No, not practical. Doesn't put any money into my bank account. Which, by the way, is a problem anyway. Yeah, bank account these days? Yes. You have to ask questions about that too. So, yeah, it doesn't add anything to me in physical setting, in physical terms. But blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. What Yeshua is saying is, you will be prosperous forever and ever in heaven. But not only that, when you try to take the word of truth and respond to it accordingly, you will be comforted, you will be healed, and you will be made whole. Your prayer will be answered too. Amen? We need to hear the word of the Spirit of truth, who allows us to discern the word, even if it may be uncomfortable, even if it makes me feel painful. If it is the word that is given to me as a father who loves me, gives to me, I need to take that word to be corrected, be rebuked, and be encouraged. Let's go to 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 4. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather on them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So in the last days, in the last times, the Bible warns us. People are going to want to hear what they want to hear. Thanks to social media and now the so-called like millennium generation or even Gen Z, it's all about themselves. Whatever makes them feel good, they do. Whatever they like, they listen. Whatever they want to watch, they watch. So you can personalize and customize your news feed, your channel. You don't have to sit through like boring shows to get to your favorite show. Back in the day, that's how we were raised. There was only three channels and then it would end at 12 or something. And you have to watch boring shows and until your final your favorite show comes on and then like sandwiched between these terrible programs. But now, you don't have to do any of that. You pick your favorite channel, and you pick your favorite show. You pick your own podcast. You listen to whatever you want. You got your own little bubble. You got your own setup with whatever you want to hear, whatever you want to see. It's all about you. That's the warning that the Bible is giving 2,000 years, since 2,000 years ago. And the same Spirit speaks to us today. Be warned. Be warned, because men will want to suit their own desires. They will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They say, oh, see, it's the same all the time. It's so boring. I don't find anything. It's like, I could see it in some faces just sitting there.
Same, same. Man, those are the hardest ones. I don't want to look at them. Their faces like.
Even if it is the same, you have to say to yourself, like, I've heard this, but there's something that I haven't heard before, and I need to hear that now. I need to have my soul come out alive through this word, because the soul has been yearning this for a whole week. I better not miss it, because this is the only time, only place where me, the soul, can come alive. Where else are you going to hear it from? Where else? You got to listen to yourself. I'm a man of truth. I'm going to listen to myself. Be careful. Be careful. Who listened to himself? It was the devil. Even Yeshua did not listen to himself, did he? Yeshua listened to the word of the Father. And he was obedient to death. And because of it, he succeeded 100% and is blessed forevermore. And we want to follow his footsteps. Amen. So the man of the spirit who hears the word of the truth rejects these empty words. Like, COG is so impractical. I want to go to church where that tells me, well, like, my heart is so, like, pressed, and my heart is so broken. And the word is all about comforting me and loving me. God loves me. God cares for me. I love that. I mean, really, we do hear that sometimes. Yeah, it's like, yeah, not sometimes. I mean, that is who God is. We talk about love. Yes, we talk about his forgiveness, his mercy, his care. Yes, and we are so comforted by that. But we can't pick and choose and say, I like that part and I don't like this other part. I heard a lot of that, but this word of truth stuff, like, no thanks. No thanks? The end is coming and judgment will be made against weed. We separate, weeds are separated from the wheat, the living, from the dead, to face that judgment. The judgment will be had by the word of Yeshua. So when you come to church and you invest all this time, and then you are worshiping and even serving on top of this, spending all this time based on the teaching of the church, you have to ask yourself, what am I hearing here? What do I want to hear? Even if the word is difficult, if it is the word that is spoken to rebuke, to correct, and to encourage, and I have to accept this word. So even if the world is going against it, as the warning goes, I have to accept it through the Holy Spirit. So when I hear the word, like goads, as I said earlier in Ecclesiastes 12, goads, like sticks, it feels like, as someone told me last week, it's like when I hear the words, like, and then last week, what was it? I won't mention your name, Affy, but anyway, someone told me. So I love that. So honest. Like, when I hear word here, it's like, and last week was, means it's like to that point of being cut to the heart. Then what do I do? What's the response? And it's Acts 2, 37, 38. So when the people heard Peter preaching, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles' brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, what? Repent. What did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Certainly that's how we begin as Christians. But when we are cut to the heart, we can't just stay cut. Every week you're cut. Why would you want to come back? Because you're dead. Dead. How can you go on? Just guilt written. Turn that guilt into power to repent. And when you do repent, it is you responding to the word accordingly. And the Lord will hear your prayer, hear our prayer, and give us strength. Hallelujah. That's what the king said in 2 Kings 22:19 when he heard the word. You know, in the Old Testament, they ripped their clothes. Heard the word with their clothes. Something bad happened, they ripped their clothes. It was an act of rending their heart, rending their clothes and rending their hearts, pouring themselves before the word of truth. So it says, because your heart was responsive, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Because your heart was responsive. You didn't sit there like a stone figure and statue and like a spectator or a zombie. But something was moving in your heart. Like, I feel guilty. oh man, what's wrong with me? I have ways to go. The Lord has set this mountain. The Lord said, go, go, go. But I'm saying, no, 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 I don't want to go. Oh my God, I'm still struggling against my laziness, my worldliness. The world still sounds good and looks good to me. I'm so sorry. So when the word coming at me, then I'm responsive and I'm beating my chest, rendering my heart. Not just closed, but by ripping my heart out with a broken and contrite heart and saying, oh, how I've been deceived by the lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and pride of life. How earthly, unspiritual, demonic I still am. These are my own words, citing from the Bible. Every morning I repent with those words. And then the Lord is clarifying and lifting up all the burden so that I can experience the word of truth that sets me free. Hallelujah. When the disciples were all, who had been following besides the 12, they were all leaving Jesus, and Jesus turned to the disciples in John 6. Are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, what? Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. You have taught us who you are, and we cannot leave you therefore. Certainly today we do not have Yeshua in front of us speaking to us and telling us what the Bible is about, what the truth is. But if you believe that this is where the church is built on the foundation and pillars of the truth, and by the spirit of truth, the preachers are preaching and trying to live by that word and setting the example and leading the church, then this is where we are hearing the words of eternal life. This is where we are treated as souls to be led back to the Father's house in heaven in that day. So where can I go but to stay here, remain intact, so that I remain attached to the vine as a branch and his words remain in me. Hallelujah. And when his words remain in me, I bear much fruit. Do you want fruit in your life? Do you want fruit in your life? Do you want disciples to be made through your life? Then his words of truth must remain in you. Amen. That is to obey, even if it's hard, and follow, even if it's hard to understand. I want to learn. That's why we have Logos Bible School, to decipher, break it down so that I can understand more. Read the Bible, read the Bible. All these things are being said to you, encouraged to you, even rebuking and correcting you when you go astray, so that you are continually nurtured by the word of truth. And as I take this part in the Bible so emotionally, Luke 24, after Yeshua resurrected, and he met with these disciples who were on their way to Emmaus. And they were sad. And Yeshua said to them, and they didn't recognize him. So he said, why are you guys so sad? And they turned, what's going on? And they turned to him and said, are you the only one in Jerusalem, only visitor in Jerusalem, who does not know what just happened? This man, who we believe was a man of God, a prophet, had died. They crucified him. And he died. But some of the women said, he had said 3 days after his death he was going to raise back to life. We don't know if he did or not, but the women went down there and saw an empty tomb. And even some of his own saw that it was empty tomb. So we don't know what happened. And Yeshua was like, you foolish man, let me explain to you. So he explained to them about the law and the prophets. You understand? Yeshua said, the law and the prophets, speaking to them about the scriptures and how they're about him. Then when they stayed over, they asked him to stay over with him in a night at a place, and he broke bread with them. They opened their eyes and saw who that was. Oh my God, that's Yeshua. And he disappeared. He disappeared from them. And he appeared elsewhere to the disciples. So these two said to each other, and that's where I get so emotional when I read that. Did our hearts not burn within us when he spoke to us on the road and opened the scripture to us? So they realized, oh, I could feel my soul come alive because it's the Lord who is speaking the word of truth to me. I understand what the scripture is about. Scripture is about Yeshua. These are men who did not receive the Holy Spirit yet. But because they believe in Yeshua, now it's like coming alive. That seed, the word of truth, was sown in their soul. Now soon they will receive the Holy Spirit and they will go to their death because they have heard the word of truth from the truth himself. That they will not be sorry, but they will remember how joyful they were. The soul was burning within them. Do you know what that feels like? Do you know what that feels like? Even if the life is difficult and struggling, when you hear the word of truth, your spirit comes alive. You need to experience that for yourself. You need to experience that for yourself so that you can say, I'm going to keep on following this word. Otherwise, you cannot. Only when you know the truth and have experienced the word of truth, the life that it gives, and say, these are words of eternal life, therefore I cannot go anywhere else, even if in my tears, in my pain, I will follow you all the way. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Close your eyes and ask yourself really honestly, why do you come to church week after week and throughout the week? For what? Especially at COJ here. Teaching's hard. It's very serious. Do you have to keep on going? Why? Ask yourself why. Honestly, why? It ought to be the word. And then you have to ask yourself, what kind of word should I be seeking? The word that makes me feel good about myself week after week after week? Or the word that is the word of truth, even if it may make me feel crushed, cut to the heart, pierced, sad, but that word leads me to respond in humble heart, that I respond to the word and repent. Then he gives me peace and comfort and strength and encouragement. Oh, I want this word. I want the word of truth. I don't want no junk. I don't want no lies. I want the word of truth. Let's lift up our hands with humble hearts. Let me only hear the word of truth all the days of my life. Until the end, lead me by the word of truth.